WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If you're the man, what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
So we have tribal combat, we have a Saturday Night's main event, and a beast is back. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211 chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime. It just be Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use character rockets like a Lindsay M word in the Fortnite item shop, because hashtag every partner, go buy your Overwatch stuff. Do the thing. I'm the producer, that's Lindsay Ward.
Oh, they cook tonight. Did I go for a second? Is it gone? Maybe. Okay, we're good. Yay, no echo. They did things tonight.
They did.
I think things that we weren't expecting them to do tonight. Like, I told Rock that a certain beast, I wasn't expecting him yet.
No one was
going to make his return.
Everyone kind of had a feeling. So it was the Oba Femi Open Challenge. He comes to the ring. It's in full darkness. And then Oba Femi gets jumped. But by who? Who? One Brock Lesnar. Delivering not one, not two, not three, but four F5s and a pair of split pants.
Yep, he did. He did bust his pants.
Again. But Brock Lesnar has returned once again to WWE. Adam Pearce, furious, mad, disgusted.
Like
goes,
you do.
Get me Heyman. And Heyman just happened to be in his office. And goes, I filed the retirement papers for him. He's supposed to be retired. And Paul Heyman's like, yeah, Paul Brock Lesnar is retired. But here's this. A signed contract for the biggest rematch in history. It will be Brock Lesnar versus Oba Femi one more time at Clash in Italy. And this contract already has Brock Lesnar's name on it. So Brock Lesnar is officially back. That was kind of been all the plan all along, I guess. Kind of knew it was too good to be true.
I was rooting for him to stay retired. He was supposed to stay retired. We were finally free of the Bork. He was supposed to be gone. And every time we think he's gone, he comes right back. Rude.
I will say this. They did it well. No one knew. It did not get leaked. It just happened. They got him into North Carolina with nobody knowing he was there.
I mean, shout out for that, because that did not hit the interwebs today, and it was a good surprise. I'm kidding about him staying retired. Like, I think this is absolutely the way to go, that if this is his final run, and we said this when it happened at Mania, if this is the final run, if this is Brock's send-off, which we've all suspected the send-off was going to happen in Minnesota at SummerSlam, That it should be open that gets to retire him, especially based at the events that happened at WrestleMania. So Brock coming back to take on Obafemi in a rematch that eventually leads potentially to a match between them at SummerSlam, I'm fine with. I have no issue with this whatsoever. The only thing I don't want is for Gunther to get involved, because he really has no business being in this. But this is just something that Brock right now, unfortunately, is the best challenger for Oba. And that's kind of how it works. Because, like, there's nobody really else on the roster that can challenge Oba's dominance except for Brock.
I mean, there are a few people, but they're tied up. So
they're busy. Yeah.
They're busy doing things. I don't know if it gets to SummerSlam. It could. But also, Gunther's on SmackDown now. So unless Brock's moving to Fridays, which I don't think he's moving to Friday. I don't think Gunther Brock at SummerSlam's a thing. But again, who knows? It is up very up in the air at that point. But we'll see as things come out, things are told. All that fun, happy stuff. Finn Balor, JD McDonagh battled in a street fight. Dom got involved, of course.
Shocker.
But Finn won. It was a good match. Very enjoyable.
I like this. I thought it was fun. I like the little video package backstory that they gave for JD and Finn. Yeah. And kind of sort of went into it a little bit more and talked about their history together, showed how they came up together and all the changes that have happened there. So I thought it was a really nice way to set all that up. Again, it's Finn working his way out of the Judgment Day and settling old grudges and old rivalries so he can be free to go do Finn things later on. And I do like that they address the animosity between Finn and JD, and they carried this forward. So this was good.
I hope the mask versus mask match happens soon, because while the action is good, these matches are not adding anything to the feud.
Are you tired of the Americanos?
I'm not tired of the act. I'm tired of them facing each other.
That's fair.
Like, I like the act, but these matches aren't adding heat to the feud. It was a Tornado Rules 6-man tag. El Grande Americano, Bravo, and Rayo got a win, which desperately needed on American television. It's very hot in Mexico, in AAA. We've seen every combination. We've kind of tried to randomize their kit. They gotta promote it. No, oh, man, it's like they're stuck trying. They gotta promote the match, so it's like you got it. It was doing better when it was AAA focused. I agree. But I get why they gotta promote it, because it's a big event they want to try to push. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the heat it does when you see the clips from AAA here in the States. The crowds don't react to give it the heat. So when you watch them, you go, good wrestling, but I don't care. I'm not as much bothered by that as it's just not interesting. Like, they're opposite in the States, heel and face. It's just not interesting because we've seen it so much.
Yeah, just to kind of add to that, like, it's the same shtick over and over and over again, and there's nothing wrong with that after like a certain number of matches. Like, when at the start it's fine, but like, we're how many months into the Americanos feud, right? Like, of them, you know, of Chad coming back and trying to reclaim his throne, essentially. And I've maintained that the gimmick's been kind of played out for a while, but then again, I'm not as into it as Rock is.
Right, and the gimmick, it's just, we've seen, you know, opponents, just give them something else to do, and that's where we're at.
It's time they moved on.
Right, and they will on May 30th, whenever the big event, and we'll have a decisive winner, and then whoever comes out of it. If you want to watch it on AAA, it's booked so much better than it is on the main roster. Taker definitely knows what he's doing booking over there. Booking wise, yeah, he does. And they're not I'll say this, they're not booking it bad. It's just gone on too long. And you hit a ceiling of this story on TV is too long, because before WrestleMania, it was really heated and really intense, and then they didn't pay it off.
Yeah.
Here in the States. And that's kind of where, that's my biggest issue. We built to it, and then like 3 weeks before Mania, we paused here in the States. And then you killed the fire for the American viewing audience. Because many thought it was going to be the El Grandes fighting at WrestleMania. Didn't happen. We all understand it. They moved it to AAA. They need something hot for there. It's working there. I just I'm tired of the six. I'd be okay with El Grande Americano facing anyone. It's just them versus each other. They've done everything they can. And what Taker's doing, great. I've seen the clips. It's booked well. But it's also very easy booking. Not to take away Taker's booking. It's also very easy booking what they're doing with them. Anyway, something they booked really well was the...
I would like to point out...
Go ahead.
Just to say it in this instance. I don't think you have to carry the feud every week, right? On American TV. Like, if it's being pushed really heavily on AAA, that's wonderful. That's if that's where it's hot, it needs to be pushed. I don't think they need to be pushing it as much on American TV as what they're doing right now. And maybe they back off of that after the Mask versus Mask. I doubt that, because then the story is it's whoever gets unmasked, right, now has to go on the humiliation run.
But But you tell it with different people. You don't have to have them fight anymore. They're fighting after
them. That's what they're going to do.
I hope not, because if that happens, we're going to talk about it.
Like, that's the whole point. Like, if Gable wins, right, the original El Grande wins, and, you know, the imposter extraordinaire gets revealed, and his boys get revealed, number one, it's going to be awkward as fuck. Either way, when the mask comes off, it's going to be awkward as fuck. But two, like, now it's, oh, well, the original El Grande Americano and his backup are going to humiliate Kaiser and Dunn and Bate and send them sort of on this, like, and just sort of, like, just go through them again. Because now the story refreshes, at least from a storytelling perspective, not from a mass perspective. But it's, you know, you tried to steal our place, you tried to steal our name, you know, now we're going to punish you for that, we're going to humiliate you for that. And granted, they can do all that in AAA. It does not have to happen on the main roster. I pray that it doesn't, but it will, because that's how they're going to book it. I can already tell you that right now, that is how they're going to book it.
So what they booked really well was the sit-down interview with Michael Cole and Ethan Page.
Oh yeah, that was fantastic.
Ethan handing Michael Cole the card to interview him with was fantastic.
Come prepared.
He talked about, this put over Ethan Page, his ego and stuff. This was fantastic. And he said he'll be the first person to put fear in the vocabulary of Penta and leave with the championship. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Simple, effective, very to the point.
It was Paige and Brie Bella defending the women's WWE tag team titles against Raquel and Roxanne. Solid match.
Mm-hmm.
Liv Morgan tried to get involved. She got thrown out. The distraction allowed Brie to roll up Roxanne for the win. Liv attacked afterwards. Bayley and Lyra made the save.
I know we say this every week, but I'm going to say this every week until they actually fucking do something about it. Can we please, whether it's Dom, whether it's JD, whether it's Liv, whether it's Roxanne, whether it's Raquel, can we please, for the love of fuck, stop with the Judgment Day interference? It's enough, okay? It's seriously enough. We say this every week. I understand they are heels. I understand they cheat. I get that. But it's so consistent that you can call it. And it doesn't make the matches interesting at this point. It's down to the I know exactly where this is going to go moment that someone is going to get involved. Granted, it changes on who does it depending on who's wrestling, but it's the Judgment Day is going to cheat to try to pick up the win. And sometimes they don't win and sometimes they do. That's the only variance. But it is so commonplace that it's no longer interesting. It's part of the background at this stage. It's another move that's getting thrown. Can we please stop? No. Can we get a month of matches where the Judgment Day does not cheat?
No.
Please, can we get that?
No.
It's boring. It's so boring. They're boring. I'm just gonna fucking say it. They're fucking boring. Like, there's nothing interesting going on with the Judgment Day. There's nothing. Who are they anymore? What do they stand for? What do they do? Like, you've had this massive shift in leadership where Finn Balor has fucked off and been excommunicated from the group. You don't really know who the leader is anymore. You assume it's Liv or Dom, but you don't really know. And there's been no reset of the group. They're just continuing to go along to get along. It's like when Edge got kicked out, they reset the group. When Rhea and Damian got kicked out, they reset the group. They have not done that with Finn. They are just doing the same exact thing they've been doing for, what, 2 years now? It's not interesting. They're not interesting anymore. I hate to say it. Like, it's no offense to them, but the writing and the consistency and everything they do, there's no surprise. There's nothing that makes you sit up and go, oh my God, it's the Judgment Day. Because it's all formulaic at this stage. Like, please, make them interesting. Do something with them. Or break them the fuck up. I don't care what you do. Just do it.
Byron Saxon. She was stoked that she had a chance to face some of the best in the women in the business. Becky showed up. Said she hasn't faced the best. You're 0-2 and you should go back to NXT. Ruka said, yeah, I'll go. Becky talked about how she's giving all these young people today. How all these young people today give up so easily. Then she hears Soul's music play, so Soul's coming to the ring. She says, there's no point in doing this backstage, let's do it here. She called Becky out to the ring, come face her like the man she claims to be. Ruka said Becky comes out. Ruka says she's good at proving people. She wants to fight her tonight. So she hypes, Becky's hypes to the crowd, you want to do it right here in Greensboro, North Carolina? No. She would love nothing more to perform for the people of Greensboro because they could use some excitement in their lives. But she said, Soul's not ready. She said she would face her at Saturday night's main event. Becky told her she's not just a star maker, but also a star breaker. And Ruka said she sees what Becky's trying to do, and she's not falling for it. I'll snatch your soul again, and this time I'll snatch your title too. Becky's like, no one said this is for the Intercontinental title. You have to earn that. So it'll be Sol Ruka and Becky Lynch this Saturday at Saturday night's main event.
I mean, I can think of worse things to watch.
5 pretty good matches for Saturday night's main event, which we'll talk about Thursday.
It's shaping up to be a really good event, so I'm down.
Roman Reigns opened up Monday at Raw, arriving in his truck. He said he told Adam Pearce he's going to call out Jacob for 2. Jacob's music's already playing. Jacob's like, I heard Roman wants to call me out. He told Roman Reigns to come out here so he could dog walk his ass. The Usos came out. Jay had a chair. Jimmy's trying to talk some sense. Jimmy's like, you want to do anything to make your life better for your wife and kids? All you have to do is acknowledge Roman. He'll make your life better. Jacob was having none of it. Jay goes and starts to go whack Jacob with a chair. Jacob fights it off. Jacob's beating up Jay until Jimmy gets involved. Jay hit Jacob with the chair. He didn't do anything, but the tongue and death grip to Jay. Gave it to Jimmy. Roman comes out. They stare down. They start fighting. He gets the tongue and death grip on Roman. The Usos get involved again. Super kicks. They all hit their finish on Jacob. They hit the 1D. They tie Jacob into the ropes. They hit Superman punches and super kicks. Then we had another Superman punch. And more super kicks. And one more spear. Jacob's down and out. Roman and the Usos leave. Adam Pearce is out. Go do what you want. Go fire him. Whatever. Before Adam Pearce goes, Jacob Fatu. And Jacob has the mic. Roman Reigns. Tribal combat. Before Adam could talk, Roman says, you're on. So it will be tribal combat at Clash in Italy for the World Heavyweight Championship. Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu. Good way to get there.
It's a good way to get there. I'm not sure what tribal combat means.
No DQ. But, okay. No, it's no DQ. You have to acknowledge the winner. It's what he did with Jay. It's what he did with Solo.
So are they doing it in a cage or are they doing it?
No, it's just no DQ, fight anywhere. No interference, though.
Is refreshing.
It's mano a mano.
That is refreshing.
All right.
I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, it's good. It'll be a fun match. Like, there's nothing else they could really do for that. They had to get there. And because Jacob's unpredictable, you got to make it with a stip.
Yeah. At this stage, you've had the regular match. There's no need to have any more. Jacob is only escalating violence. Roman is only escalating violence. It makes complete sense from here on out. Anything they do, anything they say, needs to be like some type of stipulation. It's just that's the only logical choice on that. Like, if you try to keep it regular, it's not going to work.
Backstage, Kathy Kelly is interviewing Seth Rollins. He has new allies. He's a marked man, but he has to put an end to the vision. So tonight he's going to start. I haven't wrestled on Raw in 9 months. We should change that. Adam Pearce gave me the main event. He challenged any member of the Vision to a match, mainly Bron Breakker. But he questioned whether Breakker is the Nepo baby who can hack it, or an athlete who turns into a wad and wastes the potential or anything Breakker claims to be. Told him to show up in the main event. So Logan, Paul, and Austin Theory are talking with Paul Heyman about the Profits. Bron Breakker walks in and says, Let's make the match. Heyman's like, yes, we'll make the match. It'll be Seth freaking Rollins versus Austin Theory. Breakker says, can we have the room? So it's Breakker and Heyman. What are we doing, Paul? I could beat Rollins again. He knew that. But he knows where Rollins, but you now know where Rollins will be, what time he'll be there, and what when he'll have his hands full. It's just, let's run the play. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Segueing back to the Usos, they're in the backstage area being interviewed by Kathy Kelly, talked about tribal combat, and then LA Knight showed up, rambled a bit, talked about how we were on the same page now, fighting the Vision now, you guys are doing the same thing. It goes, you do dirt, you get dirt. Jimmy's like, not now. They brought LA Knight back just to ramble. That's what it felt like.
I feel like they just don't know what to do with him.
They had a plan, but they changed their plan. That's the deal. So
is there anywhere where he can go, I guess, to... Is there anywhere he can go, number one, that he can be more successful? Because he was really, really hot. He's very talented. They have something in him. They know they have something in him. But it always feels like they take him up to a certain point, and then the proverbial steam just dies. And the push dies. And then he's back kind of like in mid-card hell. And nobody really knows, I feel like, what to do with him or how to react to him or anything like that. And so it's like, okay, so what do we do here?
So they were going to do Gunther LA Knight, and then they changed the booking plan to move Gunther to SmackDown, which left LA Knight doing nothing for a few weeks. So now he's back, rambling to also now Seth Rollins in the parking lot. Rollins, if they were going to do this now, and Knight said, you have a match, and you might even win, but you're going to be stomped out. I'm no fan of yours, and you're going to need some help, but with my enemy, and my enemy is not my friend in this case, and told him good luck finding friends. Yeah. The internet, with LA Knight, he's not the game changer people think he's going to be. WWE knows that. But he's popular enough, you have to keep pushing him to a point, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. And they've got him in the commercials. Like, they obviously believe in him. They obviously see something in him. Like, that is very apparent. It's just what that is, we don't really know. Because, again, they keep, like, changing the game with him. It's like they get hot on him, and I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's somebody in the office. I don't know somebody in the writer's room that, like, gets really, really hot on him. They start to push him. You know, they build him up, they build him up, they build him up, and then it's just, like, wah-wah.
They build him up.
Every time.
They build him up, and they build him up, but there's a ranking system. And when it comes to the people you're pushing for the world title, he doesn't get there because they're pushing other people. You can't turn him heel to fight Cody if you move them back to SmackDown. He's not going after Roman right now, so you can't put the strap on him that way. You go back to the U.S. title, but then that defeats the purpose of building other guys. So he's a main eventer with no main eventer to fight because everyone else is booked. So he's a guy on an island, and people say, oh, make him Money in the Bank. No, because you're going to get disappointed when his run's 2 months with the belt.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem. If he wins Money in the Bank, it's a 2 month reign and it's not going to go anywhere because you're not pushing him over CM Punk. You're not pushing him over Seth Rollins. You're not pushing him over Roman Reigns or Oba Femi at this point, right? So what, that makes him the fourth babyface?
Something like that, yeah.
That's a bad spot. And there's other, can go down the list, there's more people. But those are your top four on Raw. He's number, what, five then?
Yeah. That's why I said, like, can he go back down to NXT? Can they have him down in NXT where he can sort of, like, just chill down there and do his thing down there? Can he go anywhere else in the company that, like, he can just cool his jets for a minute?
You can't put him in NXT. They're building too many. They're focused on the young at this stage. They don't need him down there. You can't put him back on SmackDown. I mean, you can, but he won it off of SmackDown, so that's why he got moved to Raw. He's in a spot where he's a big star without a home, because there's other people who in ring more talented, more popular. But he's still enough of a draw that you want to continue to push him. So they're stuck with this guy. You can't put a title on him. You can't put the main title on him because the main title is with the main guys. You can't put the mid-card title on him because he's not a mid-carder and you're trying to elevate Penta and Ethan Page and Javon Evans. So that's going to slow down their momentum if you stick the Intercontinental title on him now. He had his run as U.S. champion on SmackDown. And if you put him back on SmackDown to fight for the U.S. title, that's just now going to slow down the development of Trick Williams and Carmella Hayes and Ilya Dragunov and the people who are fighting for that. So he's just a troublemaker with a loud voice who the fans like, suitable for a one-off main event, but you're not going to build your company area. It's a tough spot. That's the weird spot with him. He's good. He's not great. And where he's at in his career, it's like you're running out of like time to do something. Could they have done something before? Yeah, but they had other plans, and he's just a victim of circumstance where everyone else is peaking just when he's peaking, and they have the edict to kind of get young now a little bit and push some younger guys. So he's kind of stuck.
I mean, I hate it for him because he is genuinely very talented, but at the same time, yeah, it's like...
That's where he's at.
And it sucks for him. Like, it's awful for him, but at the same time, like, what... I'm not sure what you... I'm sitting here trying to think of it, and it's like, what do you do with him? How do you sort of, like, make this all work? And the answer is, I don't know.
Here's the problem. 5 years ago, he would be fine because PLEs weren't 5 to 6 matches.
Yeah.
They were 7 to 8. So you would have one more match to build to. But since you're not building him, there's no additional match for him. You really can't build him into a mid-card feud with some guy because it's not going to pay off at the PLE. And that's what people want out of it. That's what the audience wants. They want him on a PLE in a singles match against someone big. But you're not going to get that anytime soon. Yeah, but at least he was on television tonight.
That is true. We can't complain about that. He was at least on television. But yeah, it's... What do you do with a problem like LA Knight? Which, the answer is, I honestly don't know. I really, truly don't know what you can do. If you can do anything. Like, I don't want to see him lose his job. Like, you never want that for somebody.
No. He's very content where he's at. He's in a spot where he's a star and makes good money. But maybe there's nowhere for him to go. Because he's a WWE style worker. And going anywhere else, he ain't going to look like a megastar. Or he'll be outworked by everyone on the roster.
I mean, legitimately, could he go to TNA or something like that?
He won't look like a megastar there.
But he's not looking like a megastar now. That's the problem. So okay, like, at least he can get more time.
Better question. He won't get paid like a megastar.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't get paid like a megastar. So sometimes you just gotta take your lumps and run with it.
Or he just runs out the contract.
Yes.
Or maybe he's the one who took the pay cut. Yeah. Who knows? Anyway, main event. Austin Theory, Seth Rollins. Dawkins, before the match approached Seth Rollins, they kind of had, you know, we don't have to trust each other or be friends, but good looking out last week. Rollins like, I have a match. Thanks and all the things. And Montez, before that, said after they hyped up the tag title match, I'm not going to go help you or help him. So Seth Rollins, Austin Theory, really good match. Seth Rollins gets the win. Logan Paul would try to interfere. Rollins fixed that. Then Angelo helped out after it was 2-on-1. Montez had to help his partner. Montez does an awesome dive over the ring post, which is scary as hell at some time. If you don't clear it, you're kind of screwed. Then Montez is helping Dawkins and going, why'd you come out? You shouldn't have done this, all the things. Braun Breaker comes in, spears Montez because he pushed Dawkins out of the way. He also took a spear as well to Dawkins, or the backbreaker thing, or the gut buster thing. Rollins gets in the ring. They're fighting. They were gonna try to break Seth Rollins by using the steps on him on the outside. Adam Pearce called them off to end Monday Night Raw.
This was like vicious. This was so good.
It was a good beatdown.
It's like Seth shot his shot, and he kind of missed in a big way. I liked it. I thought it was good.
Good ending. Good ending to Raw. Solid Raw. Built into two different shows. It would work.
Like there's only. Again, they only have so much time, and that's their own fault, by the way. That's not anybody's fault but them, that they have given themselves this amount of time to put this together. So we aren't going to get these super intricate, like, well-thought-out, deep stories, right? We're going to get wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, beat him down, set up the next match, and go from there. And we're kind of going back into that rapid-fire sort of, like, mentality that we had last summer, God help us if that's true.
But the difference is right now they're treating Saturday night's main event like a smaller event and still building to the PLE big matches.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite of last year. We kind of have well-defined stories, which is an improvement from last year. Where we rapidly fired and everything. But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Go back live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right, tune in. We'll have news. We'll have notes. We'll be talking all about Saturday night's main event right there on the rack. It's Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Join us Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern for CB Radio. Because why not? Nothing else is happening that day.
Nah.
Nope. Nothing else is happening on Saturday. Nope. So we should be back on Sunday for Wrestle Talk Radio to preview Clash in Italy. And we'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post Show. I think our final one for a while. This Monday. I think.
Yeah, because they're going overseas.
So join us next Monday for the final post show till the end of June. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have Amazon Prime. Link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You could use credit code RocketSock or
Lin's M Word.
In the phone night item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, L-E-N-S-W-R-D. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimoLin's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero.
This has been the Rob Post Show. Presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for the rec. And all week long, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.